welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. Well, I'd like to share some scriptures, a message, which I'll simply entitle, Seeing Ourselves as God Sees Us. And for many of us, you may right now be on the top of the mountain, but for many, they're going through some very, very difficult times. And if praise God for those mountaintop experiences, but I think if you've walked with the Lord any length of time, there are times of real trial, times of sorrow and sadness and loneliness, and yet we are not alone, maybe in terms of human company, but our Lord Jesus is always with us. He's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And what human agency, what person, no matter how deeply they may love you, they fail because they are human. We may promise to do something, and we should always, to the very best of our ability, fulfill and try to keep our word. But there's times we simply cannot. Circumstances, things happen that have nothing to do with our own desire or ability to accomplish what we desire to, whatever we promised. But God is sovereign, and He has all power in heaven and earth. And so what He has promised, He is able to perform. That's why the Word says all His promises are yea and amen. There's no discussion. And there are times that God allows difficulties to come into our lives, but they're always with a purpose. He does not needlessly afflict the sons of men. That's what Jeremiah says. And so perhaps one of the saddest sights in this world, in the eyes of the Lord, is a man or a woman who has accepted Jesus as their Savior, and yet that individual is living so far below the ability and the potential that they have in Christ in terms of that abundant life that Jesus was talking about. They don't project anything that looks like the Spirit of Christ. Jesus was always in obedience to the Father. He was never confused. He was never double-minded. There were times He was very sorrowful. He wept, because He shared all of our emotions, our experiences, yet He always did those things which pleased the Father. And so, you know, some Christians may love God with all of their hearts, and they're trying very hard to be a good Christian. They're always striving to obtain that lofty position where they can live a victorious Christian life. But, beloved, we can't do it in ourselves. We can't do it without the strength of Almighty God. And so as you listen to me this week, as the Lord makes it possible for you to share this time, I want to speak to you as a son and daughter of God, speaking to the Christian, asking the Lord's help for you to view yourself in the same way that God views you and sees you. And perhaps as we go through these simple truths, you may grasp a more glorious truth than you ever have walked in before. So as we begin, we have to go back to the beginning, and let's do that, back to the beginning of creation, and see Adam's position as God gave it to him. And in Genesis 1:26, these are the words of Scripture. God said, "Let us make man in our image." Notice he said, let us make man, referencing the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. In Genesis 2 and 15, the word says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And in Genesis 19, the word says, and out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, that is verse 19, of course, and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. So, in the beginning, when God created Adam, this was the position that Adam occupied. He was the crowning glory of God's creation. Remember, at a later point, David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over all the works of thine hands. And so man was to have, that was God's plan, dominion over everything he created, everything in the sea, things on the land, creatures in the air, the fowl. He gave them dominion over the animal kingdom, over the earth itself. And they were given, Adam and Eve, every herb-bearing seed, fruit of the trees for food. And God gave Adam and Eve a position of authority and power when he created them. And he made them in his own image and likeness. So God did not create Adam and Eve and just, you know, left them by themselves to just carry on, but he created a beautiful paradise called Eden. There was no pain, there was no sickness, there was beautiful fellowship with God. It says the Lord came down in the cool of the evening to walk and talk with them. So they had wonderful fellowship, and there was no sickness or sin or pain, nothing evil. It was a paradise. And God did not create Adam and Eve to be creatures that would experience death. What did he do? He gave them life. They would have lived forever in that state had they not sinned. God didn't create Adam and Eve to be servants to this world, but their original position was one of rulership, dominion, power, and authority. However, Satan brought the big lie against Adam and Eve. Satan answered Eve when she told him that they could eat of every tree except the one in the midst of the garden. And they even quoted God. God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. That's Genesis 3:3. And with these words, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Beloved, there was some truth to that, and that's how the devil operates. He always has some truth in there, because, in fact, no, they wouldn't be as God, but they certainly ate of that bitter fruit that allowed them to know evil as well as good. That's what God did not want for them. So this big lie technique has worked so well that Satan has used it ever since. How many times when you've read the Word of God, you know God said it, but it would seem that there was a contradicting voice that would seem to imply, oh, God said it, but did he really mean it? Is it really true? Beloved, God, in all of his love and glorious power, intended man to be eternally by his side. And man was created exactly and expressly for that purpose. That was the purpose in God's mind. When God created man in the womb of creation, he gave man complete faculties and abilities which were designed to the exact specifications of a perfect God. In the beginning, God said, and then followed exactly what he spoke. When God spoke the cosmos of the whole universe into existence, it bowed before him and obediently joined matter together, and out of the eternal mind of God, the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof was formed. Then after God had seen that all this beautiful masterpiece was good and perfect, there was still one thing missing, and this was going to be the crowning achievement of his glorious creation, and that was to be man. Man not created out of the imagination of a selfish God, but no, God gave Adam a position in his glorious creation, second only to himself. In the very image and likeness of God, he created them. And not only did Adam bear the image of God, Adam was given the wonderful authority to speak as God, for God, in his matchless love, brought before Adam the living things, the animals that he had created, so Adam could name them. And whatever Adam called them, well, that was their name. So notice again the position. There was God, the king of the universe, and Adam, his creation formed in his image. God speaks, and then Adam speaks. God, of course, is the divine universal authority, but Adam was given dominion and authority over the world. Praise God. Beloved, this is what is in the heart of God. He's restoring his people, his saints, his church, to that same authority that he designed for man in the very beginning. Well, my time has flown and I must bring this broadcast to a close, but I just thank the Lord for your ability to join me today, and I invite you to tune in tomorrow at this same time. And if at any time you miss a broadcast, I do invite you to go to our website, unveilchrist.org. You can click on the broadcast and listen anytime at your convenience. Praise God. Well, as I always do, I invite you to write and share your prayer requests, knowing that when I receive them, I will go to the Lord in prayer for you, in your behalf, of whatever your needs are or your loved ones, and I will send back to you whatever God gives to be a blessing and encouragement to your heart. I have huge files over the years of the testimonies of how God has answered prayer and moved in response and in relation to this ministry of correspondence. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.